Hello and welcome to Trax, Brighton's premier music podcast. I'm Tim.
And I'm Harry.
And this is episode number 34.
34.
Powering on through.
Yeah.
Relentlessly. Bit of a different one this week. We kind of built it around going and seeing a band that we love.
Yeah. We've mentioned them before. We're going to see them on.
I think we actually learned about them for the first time on the podcast.
We did.
If memory serves.
On a guest episode with Mr. Dan Brooks.
The clues are stacking up, but we are going to keep you on tenterhooks for just a little bit longer.
It's in the title, Tim.
Oh. We haven't decided what the title is yet. It may or may not be. But let's keep the pretense going anyway. People might not have read it, because they just see it's a new Trax episode, and they just listen immediately. They don't need
to click it. I need to hear that shit now.
Exactly. That is what happens every single week, so who knows? Anyway, it's a good one. We enjoyed it. Thanks for tuning in.
Yeah.
We're going to see you on the flip side, maybe?
Remember? I think so.
On that flip side. Cool. See you there.
Bye-bye.
Shall we begin? Let's begin now.
And we're back. So listeners are now thinking they've got to the other side of that little bit of musical padding. And they're wanting the big reveal of which band we're going to see this week.
Mm.
And we're still not going to tell them, because first of all, I'm going to ask you, Harry, do you have a musical highlight of the week?
I do. I do have a bit of a highlight. So, I think this, again, this has happened more often than it ever has in the past, that I had a highlight before, or at least an album I was talking about, and it is on the editing / chopping room floor. I can't remember the saying.
Cutting room floor, I think.
The cutting room floor, thank you. The chopping town.
Mayor of Chopping Town.
Anyway, I've thought about or had this in a recorded episode that we didn't use. The band is CRX.
CRX.
Indeed. They released a debut album, New Skin. Now, the song I'm actually choosing is Ways to Fake It, and I think you're going to hear it. In fact, no, I would like to play it now. See what you think.
Okay, interesting way of doing it. No build-up at all.
No.
CRX, listen.
Listeners at home, you can play this game as well. But, Tim, question. Do you think that sounds like anyone?
It sounds like a lot of things to me. I'm thinking, do you remember the band Orson? O-R-S-O-N?
No.
I'm thinking, like, the Virgins.
Okay.
I'm thinking, hockey.
Yeah. Any bigger bands?
No. No bigger bands. That's as big as it gets.
Maybe the Strokes?
Yeah, it's like the poppier end of the Strokes, but I didn't think the vocal was Strokesy at all.
Well, Nick Valency from the Strokes
is the guitarist.
Is in this band, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Now you say it doesn't blow my mind.
No, exactly. And I didn't expect it to. I think it sounds quite obvious.
Yeah.
And I went into this knowing exactly that. So when I heard the full album, and I think it was on the way to a recording I listened to it on the bus, it's only 10 songs, and it seemed to end really sudden. I don't know if that was because I was kind of getting lost in the music or whatever. I've only given this album, one full kind of playthrough.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed that song. This is why it's my highlight.
Sure.
And the album, it hasn't wowed me, but I definitely think it's because I believe we were having it as albums we were kind of looking forward to that week, and from a list of about 3 or 4, it was my number one album that is actually, from everything I've heard so far, made me want to listen to more of them. So that's why that song is my highlight.
I see. Okay. So you say you like that song, but the rest you're not so sure on. What's different about that song and the rest of the album? What more could we expect when we go and listen to it?
I don't think there's a huge difference between the songs. Just an album as a piece of work. I think there's almost too much of a similarity between them all.
Sure.
They kind of dip and dive in how heavy they might take things, but there's a lot of constants between instrumentation and vocals and lyrics and things. And I don't think that's a bad thing. I think it might be quite a safe debut album. So there's obviously similarities and things between the Strokes, which is why I'm interested in the album. But also, I feel like I'm saying this all the time now, but the album artwork, I fucking love it. It's so vibrant, and it's like, it has this character, this kind of wolf. It's a target. It's a kind of wolf.
This kind of wolf called a tiger.
It has this tiger on it in like a, almost like, have you seen The Warriors?
Yes.
Just imagine a tiger as a Warriors in a Warriors gang.
Yeah. People who are thinking, oh, I need to see this, search for it by going to www.instagram.com/trackshow and you'll see it.
Yeah. Also produced by Josh Homme.
Okay. So it's got nice names to it.
Yeah. I mean, it's really, really produced very well. And that's definitely not a gripe I have with the album. It's if I were to have any, it's just that individually there were no real standouts. But, you know, unfair after just one listen. I'll go and give it another listen and maybe some more after that and come back. But that song in particular was my highlight.
I'll be interested to do the same. I think, you know, so Josh Homme makes me more intrigued to go and listen to it, to be honest, because I feel like that bit of the song, that's all I know of this band. But it did feel maybe a little bit lightweight in the, you know, like the bands I compared it to, the Virgins, the, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Maybe that lacks a bit of the kind of depth.
I think those bands you would not compare to the rest of the album.
Yeah. No, I'm sure that's the case. And like I say, the fact that Josh Homme's involved, I feel like there's going to be a bit more intrigue and depth and mood to the piece. So yeah, I'm excited to go and listen to that. Nice one.
So moving on to you, Tim.
So my pick this week is a band out of Montclair, New Jersey.
Montclair.
Who, I'm going to be honest, I know relatively little about, mainly because there isn't a huge amount out there.
Right.
I know they're a quintet. I know they've released two songs. I know they sound kind of scuzzy, surfery, shimmery type stuff.
Yeah.
Bit grungy. And I know they've got a song called Slop that I really love. They're called Fourth Wanderers. And I think they're kind of cool. They've got like a real attitude about them. Like, they feel like a little bit too cool to even be making music. Like they almost can't be asked. Like it's kind of really just so laid back, and the vocals just so laid back, and they just seem like the coolest guys. And it's like, there's just something about the delivery of this song which I really enjoy. So maybe I'll follow on from your lead with your highlight, and without saying too much, let's have a listen and we'll come back from it, see what you think. This is called Slop.
I see the same thing.
That was slop. Thoughts.
Yeah, I like that. I think it was like slow, grungy American indie something or other.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was pleasurable to listen to.
Yeah, and it's like, it is a bit like a lot of other stuff. You know, even like Frankie Cosmos, who we went to see in the summer. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of stuff like that. Best Coast is what kind of instantly shouts out to me when I listen to them. But like, yeah, there's something about the pacing of it and the kind of confidence and the kind of swirl of it that I think is kind of a cool track. And quite mature for a band who've just put their second song out.
I'd say that too. In terms of the recording itself and how professional it sounds,
yeah,
and how tight it sounds. But I like when a band can... It's like the famous example, the Libertines, who sound like such a tight band, but when you really listen to their music, it sounds like they're just kind of looking on into the distance while just kind of strumming their guitar, yeah, not really knowing what they're doing, yeah, but they're so cool that they can just get away with it.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's kind of what I imagine when I think of them. It's like they're stood on stage like they really would rather be somewhere else. They're just like, just really...
Some people would dislike that.
But also, like, I think it takes a lot of confidence. Like, from a new band, I can only imagine... I've never been in a band, but I can only imagine the temptation would be to do everything you can to fill a stage, because, like, you're not... You want to entertain and you don't really... You're not sort of comfortable in your own skin yet.
Yeah.
Whereas with that, it's like, just love us or hate us, we're just gonna chill. We're gonna make a cool little track. I don't normally like referencing reviews from elsewhere, but on the Pitchfork review for that track, it says it's the soundtrack for those times in your life when you're feeling everything all the time, the muddled headspaces and quiet confusion when you're figuring out how to exist in the big old world, and maybe that's why we quite like it.
Yeah,
because
it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, all of a sudden. I think I might be in Fourth Wanderers. Yeah, cool tune. My highlight of the week. Go and check them out. They've only got one other song, which is called No Better, which is also pretty cool.
It's no better than the other one, though.
No Better. Like K-N-O-W.
Oh, damn it.
You should know better.
The joke is ruined.
You should know better than to make those jokes, Harry.
Oh, it works.
Yeah.
Well done.
Go me. Cool. A little bit more musical interludes, and then we're going to tell you which band we're going to see.
Oh my god, I'm so excited.
Okay, Harry. Do the honours. Where are we going?
Okay, so on Thursday, we're going to The Haunt.
Oh my word, it's as exciting as I thought.
And we are going to see Whitney.
Whitney, a band who, as we alluded to earlier, we learned about during Dan Brooks' episode. It was one of his, I think it was his new pick?
Yes. Yeah, it was.
And we both kind of instantly fell for them, I think.
Yeah, for me, it's one of these bands that I've just recently discovered and I can really get behind.
Yeah.
Like everything they're about, the album, their persona on stage, everything about them I'm a big fan of, and I can see myself following this band.
Yeah.
Like intentionally wanting to know everything they do.
I mean, we literally are following them. We're following them to a venue, so that will be the beginnings of your stalking career of Whitney.
Dan asked us if we wanted to go to this gig, okay? Why did you say yes?
I suggest for a number of reasons. One, I'm really intrigued to see what they'll sound like live.
Yeah.
Two, I like to leave the house and go out and do things. Three, it was only £10.
£10, I swear I haven't seen a band for £10 for a long time.
Yeah. And four, I'm intrigued to go to a gig with the two tallest people on the planet.
Yeah.
We're going with the Brooks Brothers, who...
We're going in front.
This is an audio format, so people maybe aren't quite aware of the fact that they're 9 foot tall, both of them.
Mm.
And we're...
All seven.
We are but tiny little men.
Well, I'm going to answer my own question, because that's what I do on a day-to-day basis. I talk to myself. I've seen a few live things about them playing. They're called videos. I've seen some stuff of them playing, and their layout seems interesting to me.
Really? I don't know this.
It's weird. I find it weird anyway. They basically have the vocalist, who is the drummer, in the centre of the stage, and then they kind of all just play around him. But it's so... It really is very centre stage. Like, all the focus is on him. And I'm... Most of the reasons are the same as you. In fact, all of them are. And I would also say I can't wait to hear what his vocal is going to be like live.
Yeah, it's got a tone to it that could... I think is going to be great. But I am intrigued too, because it's a bit like when we've spoken before about Ezra Koenig hitting certain high notes, and you wonder if he can really pull it off.
I because some people have a very clean falsetto voice and they can pull it off, and I think this guy is naturally inclined to sing falsetto, but it can be a dodgy one. He could have a few gigs beforehand and he just doesn't kill it. It's like when we saw that video of the guy, Francis and the Lights, try and do Friends. And he just cannot reach any of the notes in the recorded.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they don't get a chance to keep redoing the song every time they don't hit it.
Yeah, only Kanye does that live. Everyone else just has to put up with that.
Just sounding like whatever he wants. But yeah, I'm excited to see how that goes.
Yeah. Also, I don't know what size band they tour with, but when I was kind of doing a little bit of research for this segment, if you can imagine the fact that this is research, God knows what we'd be like without that. But according to Wikipedia, they're a 7-member band.
Trusted source.
I don't understand how, what 7 people are doing, if that is the case.
Well, Eve.
And possibly how they're going to fit on the stage at the Haunt, because I know that venue and the stage is not massive.
No, although you look at, who do we see at the Concord? King Gizzard and Lizard Wizard.
Yeah.
Big group as well. They've probably got 6 or 7 people.
But a much larger sound.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, there's more noise.
Well, I know you've got your drummer and, well, that's another thing as well. A drummer and vocalist is the same person. So, I know you've got, I guess, 2 or 3 guitars and you've got a keyboard player and maybe another little tambourine man. I don't know. That'd be interesting to see.
Yeah.
Maybe it won't be 7.
Incredible names in the band as well. So you've got the two sort of main members, I think, who are Max and Julian, Kakacek and Ehrlich, respectively.
Wow.
And then you've got Josiah Marshall. And then Will Miller, easy. Malcolm Brown, easy. Print, Chouteau. Chouteau? Print, Chouteau.
Let's go with that.
And then Charles Glanders.
Okay.
And sadly, Ziad Ansaral has left the band.
Oh, Ziad. Always leaving.
Incredible.
Just a quitter.
Yeah. So, I guess the main question before you go and see any band, what songs are you desperate to see? What is it, like, the big track that's really going to get you singing and dancing tonight?
I don't know about singing and dancing, but I want...
And that's the interesting question as well, now that I realise. Are you going to try and sing along? And if so, are you going to do it in your own voice? Or are you going to do it...
His voice.
You're going to go... No, no,
no, no. Well, basically, I have a plan. I'm doing an open mic night in the next couple of months. as part of another project we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And
teaser,
I'm gonna sing No Woman with Dan playing guitar with me. So this is almost
an exclusive
practice round. Like, I mean, I'm not gonna go up there and sing myself.
You should still like.
But I want to learn some tips from him so I can copy that guy. So yeah, I'm singing his voice, and yes, I'm singing along. I want to hear No Woman, Golden Days, Dave's Song, Polly, and the rest of the album.
That's pretty much the whole album.
If they have some singles and other things that I haven't heard, I'm sure they'll have some other extra little bits, maybe.
Yeah, I'm going nicely open-minded, I think, in that Golden Days is the big one for me. The rest of the set, I'm just excited to see what it is. Sometimes when you go to a gig, you know, like when I go and see like the specials or something, I've got pretty much an exact set list that I'm going to be annoyed if things are missed out on. So, you know, there's always that kind of playing in the back of your mind, when's this coming, when's this coming? Whereas it's quite nice to go knowing that I really like them, knowing that I've loved the album, but also just kind of thinking, play whatever you want, guys, and I'm going to love it. Right, so the pub is calling. We are going to go have a couple of beers, watch the band, and we're going to report back to you guys in, I don't know.
Seconds, but hours for us.
Yeah. In the meantime, Harry, our esteemed, not only co-host, but editor, he's going to put a little compilation of some Whitney tracks in this gap, so you can feel like you were there.
Yeah.
And we'll come and reconvene and see what we all thought. Nice one.
Lovely.
See you in a bit.
Boy.
I know you can't help me now. And sometimes people change. I've been sick since you left town.
When it's come
We've just got back from seeing Whitney, as you can hear, people.
Yeah.
How good was that?
That was really cool. I feel like I haven't seen a gig for ages. I have, just in the last couple of weeks, I think, but...
Yeah.
That was nice. I haven't been to Haunt for ages, either.
I haven't been to the Haunt for absolutely ages. Should we start by talking about the venue?
Yeah.
So, to set the scene, you know, we talked to you guys earlier, then we went off to Wetherspoons. Mm. We had a couple of drinky pints.
You start at Wetherspoons every single time.
Of course.
Even if you're going to Wetherspoons, you start at Wetherspoons.
Yeah, exactly. I had a hot dog.
Yeah, I didn't eat.
We had some pints. And then we headed to the Haunt.
Yeah.
And we got, like, weird yellow wristbands.
Yeah, I took mine off because it was itchy.
I've still got mine. It says seasoned on it.
It's one of those ones that they like, tape down with those zigzaggy sticker lines.
Yeah, it's like a paper, but like a paper that's impossible to rip.
Yeah.
It's not really plastic, it's not paper.
It's a new £5 note.
Around my hand. And it's quite annoying. But it meant that you were over 18, you didn't have to get ID to a bar.
I'm finally over 18, I've got the band.
Yeah, I'm going to wear it forever. Well, yeah. I am seasoned. then we went in and it was really busy. We got there like halfway through the support act.
It was really busy actually, yeah.
And I walked in and thought, oh, for God's sake, we're going to get nowhere near for Whitney.
Yeah. I knew every time you go to these things, you know that there are smokers and they're going to go out.
And they are jokers.
And they really flooded out. But we got up there.
Yeah.
I like to say that I think Haunt, when I'm talking to people about the Haunt, I say it's quite a slim venue.
Oh yeah, it's long and slim. It's like Italy.
It's Italy, without the shoe on the end.
No, it has got a bit of a shoe, because the bit stage, in front of the stage actually kind of spaces out a bit.
Yeah.
You've got like a long, thin bit along the bar, and then you've got the shoe.
It's also, I don't know why I'm even going to keep talking. It's like when you put a Wellington boot inside a Wellington boot. So at the one end, you've got the shoe. And you go down and then it's like a left. Yeah, it's like a, yeah.
It's two Wellington boots. To paint the picture for you at home, it's two Wellington boots.
I think they understand that.
Yeah. They do. They do now. So after the support act, who... We only saw a few songs, maybe two or three.
Yeah.
But she had a wonderful voice, like really amazing, and I kind of felt a little bit bad for not seeing more of it.
Yeah. I tend to feel bad walking into anyone playing. Even though it's obviously bad if you walk out, I feel a bit rude, like I should have been there at the beginning of the song.
Just walking in general is probably
uncouth. I always feel like I'm in people's way. Just going to gigs is really awkward for me.
Just life is really awkward for me.
Yeah.
I'm in everyone's way.
I have to say, probably the one downside to the whole gig is that I needed the toilet since the very first chord was played.
We haven't got there yet, Harry.
Okay, talking about the venue. Okay.
Well, so we, like, when everyone left after the sport, we shimmied up and we found, like, a little raised level, which listeners might not know our height. We're not the tallest of men. We're a decent height. We're a good 5'9", 5'10".
Yeah.
But we're not giant. Our companions for the night are giants. Ben and Dan Brooks. We should shout them out.
6'4" and 6'7".
And Holly.
Yeah.
She was also with us. And he was also tall. I think taller than us, right?
Not too far.
But maybe a little bit.
Maybe.
Anyway, the point is, we found a raised level, so we had a really good view of the stage, which was nice for me, because often, I mean, I can always see most of the stage, and I'll shimmy myself into a decent position, but here I had, like, a good view. Mm. I could see everyone, until a man in a silly hat with, like, scraggly, like...
Oh, yeah, sorry, yeah.
Black hair made of corn, or whatever that, like, whatever scarecrows are made out of.
Right.
It looked like scarecrow hair.
Hey.
Come on.
Put some hay on the cob.
Hey. He had hay for her. Yeah. Black hay. He went and stood in front of me, like, towards the end, but still a little bit annoying. I'd start leaning side to side.
So is every gig, isn't it? Most of them, you end up having to just see the lead singer's arm for, like, 20 minutes, and then suddenly you can see everything.
Yeah.
You just gotta, like...
Yeah, you can see clearly now. Lorraine has gone.
Lorraine standing in front of me. Fuck off!
And then they started.
Yeah.
What did you think of the lineup of the band?
I knew it was, because I've previously looked at some live stuff, I knew it was going to be like that, drummer in the middle, and they kind of stand around him. It was one, two, three, four, five, six members of the band. And so you got five standing around the one in the middle on drums and like lead vocals. I really liked it.
Yeah, I did. I thought it was kind of nicely unusual. I think before they came on, we both noticed that, like we said, the lead singer is also the drummer. Yeah. And so that was kind of a cool setup. But most impressive was the shape of his microphone, which was like a full arch.
It was a full arch, but even the mic was like a little Wellington boot.
Everything was a Wellington boot.
It was this stumpy little thing that kind of pointed towards his mouth.
Yeah, it did look
like
a bit strange,
didn't it? 90 degree angle. It was a bit weird, but I very much enjoyed that.
Yeah.
I guess you got to have that kind of thing when you're drumming and you can't have a mic. Just like imagine like this.
I think you can though. I feel like other people, they just have like a tall bottom bit and then a sort of lowered arm.
A lot of them end up singing to the left of them or something.
Yeah.
And they'll look weird.
I suppose, yeah, he had to sing to the crowd. The only other band I've ever seen where the drummer is the lead singer was Squeeze, and I can't really remember what his mic was like.
I saw Blood Red Shoes. I think they had the drummer was there.
I saw them once, but they were like in a pit and I couldn't see anything.
Oh, right.
He was doing Revenge in Brighton.
Where?
Revenge in Brighton, which had a weird stage where for some reason, like, I don't know if the stage was exactly the same level as the crowd or even lower than the crowd, but it felt like it was lower than the crowd, where you literally just couldn't see anything.
Interesting.
It was like they could have just been playing a live set out of the speakers, because me and your brother Jack were just stood there like, what's going on?
Did you go and see Blood Red Shoes, or was that?
Yeah, but it was a great escape. Oh, at Revenge. So, yeah, and then they started playing.
Yeah. I think they pretty much played the whole album.
Yeah.
And a few others.
So here's a question for you, which I've often wondered. When you go and see a band who are on their first album, and like you say, they're headlining, so they've got a decent length set, and essentially they play the full album.
Yeah.
How would it feel for you if they just played it in order? Because I feel like I would love it, and they never ever do.
No, they don't. Because, I mean, they played their quote-unquote most popular song at the very end. And I think most bands will try to do that.
But the interesting thing was that they finished their... So they had an encore, which we'll talk about later. But they finished their normal set before the encore with Polly, which is the last song, right?
I think it's like second or third to last.
Oh, okay.
Second to last, yeah. Follow is the very last
song. Oh, okay, and they played that in the encore.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm wrong. But, like, I sometimes just think, like, if that was the right order for the songs when you recorded the record and you thought this is the kind of succession of moods that we want to put out, why not just play the full album in order?
I guess because it's a different when you go and see a band, you don't, it's a different experience.
Yeah.
So you get some people that see them live a lot and they will want to hear maybe music the way the sets, although all the bands I've seen, I never remember usually the way the sets go, because you often see just loads of different sets.
You certainly feel like the arc of a set, you know, if there's a real peak and then kind of they take it down for a bit and then they peak again, you certainly feel that. But in terms of like you know, this song came first and then this song was next.
Well, it's funny because when you have an album come out as a whole, they usually try to do that within the album as well. They'll place the songs.
Yeah, that's
a lot
what
of
I mean.
Them. A lot of them like mix it around, and then just before release, they'll put it to where they think it should be and stuff. And that's why it makes you think. Surely, if that's the best way, it could
be heard. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
like I wonder why less artists do that, but Whitney certainly didn't. Mm. And this is one of those annoying things for me because I wish I could sit here and say. They played this, and then they played this, and they played this. But because we were enjoying it, we weren't taking notes or anything. That's not really the kind of guys we are. And, like, you know when you leave a cinema and people will say, like, did you enjoy that film? And I'll be like, yeah, I did enjoy that. And they'll be like, what was your favourite bit? And I'll think, like, I don't remember any bits. I don't remember any. Like, I know I liked it, I can kind of remember the story, but I don't remember bits. And like, I walk away from that, it's like, that was great.
I think,
but I'm not like, oh, I loved it when they played this into this.
Yeah, unless there's a really big standout moment for you, it's hard to do that. It's hard to pick like a bit. You need a little bit of time to kind of go back. Sometimes you won't even remember things until like 2 days later.
Yeah,
you're like, that was my best bit. But yeah.
I think my favourite bit was just Will Miller. I'm going to shout him out. He's the trumpet player. Yeah. And just every time he kicked into any track, I just thought, wow.
Smooth.
This is so good.
Yeah. Sadly, it's my favourite bit as well. It's just the trumpet kind of steals the show in a way, in a good way. It complements everything.
Yeah. And he was like far left, right at the back of the stage. So he didn't like... It wasn't like he was visually stealing the show, but I think partly just because it felt unusual to me. I don't see many bands with any brass in at all, never mind a bloody trumpet.
Mm.
Like, it just felt a little bit like it set them apart.
And it's some of my favourite stuff in the recorded stuff as well.
Yeah, of course.
I knew that. I thought they would have more than one brass player.
Yeah, I thought they had
a section, but I guess they obviously layer certain things in there. In the recorded version, so
yeah. So in the...
Actually, I don't know if you noticed this, but he had a kind of, you know, a vocoder, which is what like Kanye, Bon Iver and France and the Lights use. At one point, he had like a vocoder for his trumpet.
Really?
That he was kind of playing a chord and playing like into the trumpet, into the mic.
That's quite cool.
Playing like kind of some synthy stuff with it.
That's kind of mad.
He did it really subtly. So it was like,
I wish I'd been paying more attention.
It would just sound like two or three notes instead of the one. But it was, that was really cool.
Okay. That does sound cool.
Mm.
So there was one distressing moment I am going to flag up in their...
Okay, yeah.
The bulk of their set. So the lead singer and the bass player are brothers.
Yeah.
And do you remember what the song was when this happened?
I thought it was... Polly.
It wasn't Polly, because I remember Polly, because that was my favourite bit of the main set, because that was the one where they kept going, like, they'd have this, like, poof, 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 and then they'd stop, and then they'd come back in, poof, poof, poof,
then
stop again.
It might have been Follow.
No, it wasn't Follow either, because that was the first song in the encore.
The Fools? No.
It was a song, and anyway, basically, lead singer and bass player, who are brothers, had a snog.
Yeah. It wasn't too much of one. We've heard that they get it... Well, I kind of say get it on. They snog a little
get it
more.
On.
Let's get it on. Apparently they snog a little bit more
well, he
in
said,
like, other shows.
He said normally they do, but he had the sniffles, so he didn't want to fully snog his brother today.
Yeah.
But normally he
today
would.
Today is a bit...
I've got a runny nose, so now it's strange to snog my brother.
It's weird, because it's one of those things you think, I guess, you know, two brothers... They're absolutely fine.
He said something about they do it for shock value, right? And I thought...
But even that, how do you think that happened the first time?
Sticky.
Do you reckon they just get off with each other like since they were like 16?
I don't know, and I don't want to know. It was so disturbing. I didn't like looking at it. I didn't like experience.
I thought it was fine until the brother bit.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Because you said, oh, I hope he's not the other brother.
Yeah.
And then later on, he said, because I thought the guitar player and the bass player, or the guitar player on the right, and the bass player looked really similar. Yeah. And I thought, no, they're the
That's
brothers.
What I mean. Like a nice little snog with your bandmate. Fine.
Yeah.
You do you. Like, I was...
But you do not do your brother.
Yeah. Yeah. I was absolutely on board and thought it was like a cool little bit. And then I found out it was a brother and I just thought, oh,
too much for me, thank you.
Incest on a Thursday night.
Can I have my money back, please?
Yeah. Yeah. So that was a strange moment. But like I say, they finished the main bulk of the set with Polly, which I thought was the tightest they were as a band throughout the whole set. They, like I say, cuts in and cuts out and cuts in and cuts out. And the interesting thing is each time it cuts back in, you've then got like a trumpet solo and then it cuts back in and you've got like a bass
like
solo.
Layers each time and stuff, yeah.
And it was like, it was really, really cool.
They definitely, like, if there's an overarching?
Arching.
Yeah, didn't sound right. The overarching comment I have on this whole thing is that I wasn't interested in seeing what they were going to be live compared to recorded, and I think they were just as good, if not better. Yeah. I think they really killed it live. And his voice, that's the one thing I said at the beginning of this, is I want to know if his voice is kind of up to scratch, and it really was.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't, I didn't think it quite hit the kind of, there's like a high purity to his recorded voice, and you have to give some leeway to the fact that it's a live performance, but I thought it was really great.
You have to know, if you were a singer, you have to know that sometimes getting a kind of pitch perfect all the time is difficult. I think he did sound really pure, and he hit most of the easy tones.
Yeah.
And he kept it to the point where it wasn't screeching and it wasn't uncomfortable for
him. Yeah, which is difficult because
he was ill as well.
It is a high note he goes for. Yeah. But the only thing, like, it's not a criticism. I was setting the bar really high because I think I said to you before we went there, my comparison was going to be Ezra Koenig. When he hits the high notes, he absolutely smashes them exactly as they're recorded, and it literally is perfect for every single moment in the set where he has to hit those high notes. It's just like, wow, I don't know how you've hit that. And it wasn't quite that flawless, but that's not to say the overall feel of the vocal wasn't great through the set. I thought it really was. I absolutely loved it.
It's funny because I've often watched gigs and thought that was fucking spot on, and then I've heard a recorded version, it's like, whoa, he was off by like a lot.
Yeah, but that's just the live experience anyway. Like, yeah, you know, if you really analyse a lot of people's live sets, there's probably people dropping beats all over the place or like missing notes.
Yeah.
You know, it absolutely just happens, but when you're
it's
in
just
there,
when you go through it with a fine tooth comb, it's obviously a lot more obvious.
Yeah. But that's, you know, I think that just happens with every band. Yeah. There's a reason that, you know, they do take and take and take, and it all gets spliced together in when you record a record.
It's a Great Escape, and they recorded that song twice just to have like
yeah, exactly.
The perfect version.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, and then I liked the way they went out for a encore.
I have seen bands do similar things.
I have. It wasn't completely original, but I still thought it was quite funny. He said,
This is
our last song, and then we're going to go and stand over there for 30 seconds, and then we're going to come back and play three more songs, because we want to be honest with you. And
it's funny, because like the encore has become part of a show. Like, this isn't news, this has been thought of for a long time. But I like it when they're very self-aware. Like,
yeah.
You also get bands that say, we're not going to do an encore, and then everyone waits and shouts their name and they really meant it, they're not going to do an encore. You get all kinds of different things, but yeah, it was good for
them. Like I say, it wasn't the first time I'd heard that, but I still thought it was quite a fun, nice way of doing it.
It did kind of ruin the excitement for them coming back on stage. Because I remember thinking, I feel like they were here the whole time, they never went off. Although, you know, when you're expecting an encore, there's not too much excitement there anyway. But
yeah, exactly.
Anyway.
But I think also his like patter with the crowd was quite good.
I thought he was going to be really shy, and like he was quite calm and stuff. But he had his little hood up, and I just thought he's not really going to say anything. But then you remember he's a lead vocalist on a band that plays all the time.
Yeah, but lots of lead vocalists in prolific bands don't talk a lot. But there was a moment where he, because like you say, he had a cold. And there's a moment where he said, has anyone got anything I can blow my nose with? Because
nothing,
this is becoming a problem. And then someone lobbed a pack of tissues at him, which was quite
after
a nice
after like
moment.
30 seconds of just silence.
Just hit him in the stomach and he's like, oh! Yeah.
I think he kept that pack as well.
And also, while we're talking to the audience, I've never, ever seen a band so desperate to go out afterwards, but not really having any plans. He said about two songs in, we're thinking of someone should do a house party tonight, so if you're going to do one, hit us up after.
We'll be outside.
And then, I think maybe two or three more times he brought it up, like, house party!
Just like, a little bit sad now, mate. You really want to go out?
Someone, come out with us, house party. I think there's a dance party in here, but we want to go to a house party.
It got to the point where he was just like demoting it each time, like, I think there might be some drinks in town.
Yeah,
I think
it's like, we might go to a bar, maybe, if there's no house party. It's like, no one's had a chance to tell you about that house party yet.
We might
mate.
Just stay here, actually.
Yeah, I mean, like, we have got hotels, so we might just go to bed, but we would like to go to a house party.
I wonder if they went to one.
They might be as we speak at a house party, which we are not at.
I did think, as I was in there and he said that the first time, I was like, we're going to go to that. And then I just thought...
We have a podcast
to do. We've got a podcast to do, and we're not going to get him on here.
We have responsibilities.
We did think about trying everyone to get them on, but just thought there was too many people
yeah.
that also wanted them on their podcast.
Yeah. So then they went into the encore. They started with Light Upon the Lake, which was, for us, I don't know why we laughed so much, but we did. It felt really funny, because at first I said, like they were like two notes in, and Eileen Terry said, this sounds like Kanye West. And it sounded like Only One. And yeah. All I could hear in my voice was, hello, Mari, how you doing? Yeah. And it just sounded exactly the same. Then and then it got into
that.
It.
No, it was the song after that that we noticed the other things.
Oh, was it?
Because the way it started. Oh, just these yeah. two bass notes, boom, boom. And what did you think it was? You thought it was Britney Spears.
Yeah, because it sounded exactly like, bow, 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 oh, baby, baby.
And I thought it was, what was it?
You thought it was Dexy's Midnight Runners.
Yeah.
Come on, Eileen. Because again, it really sounded like it had like a 30-second instrumental at the beginning, and it was like no, 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 no.
There was another point as well where one of them songs sounded like something, and I sang yeah. the lyric of it, and you were like, "Don't do that,"
because you sang it really loud. It was like, again like in an instrumental, and you were just singing.
Come on, Eileen. This is bloody rude now.
But yeah, that was so it was Lights Upon the Lake. Then there was like a cover of a band I didn't know, but I really enjoyed that actually. That was one of
My favourites, and I wanted to know what it was.
No idea.
They did a Bob Dylan cover.
Yeah, they did, which was really nice. Fitted in really well.
Yeah.
And then they finished on No Woman.
Yes.
Which obviously for
a beautiful moment
for Whitney enthusiasts, that's one of the big songs. For me, Golden Days is that's my favourite, but No Woman is a very close second.
Yeah.
And it was a really nice way to go out.
Yeah.
I thought.
Definitely. It's just got some nice vocal harmonies and stuff, and it's the way they ended it as well. They kind of said goodbye and stuff, and then they came back into it again for the end as well, which is nice.
And it's just got the like it's just got a lovely little groove to it, that track.
Yeah.
And yeah. And that was it.
Yeah, gig done.
Gig done. And it was a great night.
Yeah.
Shout out Whitney for putting on a great show.
Yeah. Shout out The Haunt for putting on Whitney.
Yeah. All of the above.
Shout out Brighton for hosting everything.
Shout out Brighton for being the best. And shout out Trax for being there.
Here we go.
This is what we are really getting to. But I guess the best way to wrap up this episode is by playing No Woman, right? We'll go out on it. So, that kind of sums up our night. I hope this has been like a vaguely interesting podcast for you guys. Maybe it hasn't. It's an experiment.
I think we'll just be silent for 30 seconds, then come back, and then do the encore.
Yeah?
Yeah.
See how many people hear the encore then.
Okay.
And we're back to say thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate it. Feedback, as always, twitter.com/trackshow, facebook.com/trackshow, hello@trackshow.co.uk. Trackshow.co.uk is our website. Spotify, we're Trackshow Music. And
if you go on our website, there's a little Spotify
playlist for every episode.
In the bottom, yeah.
Yeah, it's all there. You can find us in all of these places, and we'd love to hear from you. Thanks for tuning in. I've been Tim.
And I've been Harry.
And we've been Trax, and we're going to go out on what was Whitney's last song for tonight. It was No Woman, which is an absolute tune.
No Woman, No Cry. Yeah. But yeah. I will cry.
So, thanks. See you next week.
Goodbye, guys.
Peace out.
on the city train to spend some time on the road. Then one morning I woke up in LA, caught my breath on the coast. I've been going through a change. I might never be sure.